Okay, we are on. Okay, so two shailas that came up this week. One shaila was as follows. I was sitting in my office the other day, and I saw on my phone that there was a call coming in from a hospital. I typically don't get calls from hospitals, so I was going through in my head which doctors daven in my shul that work in a hospital that might be calling me with a shaila. I picked up the phone, and it was not a doctor from a shul. It was someone I know very well, who apparently was diagnosed with a form of cancer, and they were meeting with their doctor at the time about planning out radiation treatment for their cancer. And the doctor said that the best way that they could to aim the radiation, right, and you're familiar with this, you know how they aim the radiation, make sure they get it right in the right spot? They make a tattoo dot on the person's skin. Let's say they needed to do radiation on whatever part of the body. They make a dot on the person's skin with a tattoo so it doesn't fade, and that way they zero in, you know, they're able to get the radiation perfectly aimed right on that spot. So the person was sitting there with the doctor, and the doctor said, yeah, we're just going to make this little dot on your skin with, you know, tattoo. And the person said, wait a second, I don't think I can do that. And the doctor said, what do you mean? He said, don't you treat like religious Jewish patients all the time? And the doctor said, yeah. And no one ever asked the shaila before? The doctor's like, no, what's the issue? So the person called me up and said, am I allowed to get a tattoo dot on my, wherever it was, to be able to have the radiation treatment. So I asked the doctor, I said, can you put the doctor on the phone? So I asked the doctor, like, how important is this? He's like, yeah, we could do without it. It's not really such a big deal. Meaning, he said, it just helps us aim a little bit. But, you know, we have pretty good aim anyway. It's just, it's just a little dot. No one sees it anyhow. It's not a big deal. Meaning, like, if, he's, like, trying to calm me down. He's like, don't worry. The Chevra Kadisha wouldn't even notice about a Jewish cemetery, you know, like, whatever. Like, you know, because that's the misconception, right? That, so like, it's no big deal, it's just a dot. I'm like, no, but like, is it medically important? He's like, it's helpful. You know, he wasn't really being so, you know, explicit. He's like, it's helpful, we don't need to do it. He's like, I don't need the confrontation, it's fine. So then the patient got back on the phone, and the patient's like, if it helps him aim the radiation, I'd rather have it than not have it. So, can we do this? If it's us, I'm not gonna do it, but can we do it? So that is shaila number one. Shaila number two, I was at a wedding last night. My shir assistant got married last night, Ari Brandspiegel. And at the chasana last night, there was a rav there from Passaic who said that he got an interesting shaila this weekend. He wanted to know what I thought. So he said that that there was a woman called him up, and she had recently separated from her husband. And, you know, sometimes the separation is like a trial separation, and sometimes it's like, we've tried everything, this is over, and, you know, it's just a matter of time till we figure out all the details and the get and everything else. This is in the second category of separation, right? Meaning it's over. You don't even know what the shaila is going to be. You can't vote yet. This is in the second category of separation. Now I feel bad because it's not as exciting as you think it is. This is the second category of separation where this marriage is not coming back. This marriage is over. So the husband's moved out of the house. The children are with her in the house, and obviously the husband will take them to wherever he is every once in a while. But the children were wondering, now that daddy's not there anymore, are they allowed to sit in daddy's seat at the dinner table? Meaning, is it still daddy's seat? Are they allowed to sit there at the dinner table? So I said, you know, I've never been asked that shaila, and I'm not even sure like what exactly to compare it to. So I thought that was an interesting shaila. Now that he doesn't live there anymore, is that an issue of kibur av? And at what point would it become mutter? Does it just like, is there a possibility that that seat just remains empty forever, like the Lubavitch Rebbe seat in 770 or whatever? Like, is that something that that happens when a person moves out? So that is shaila number two. So again, shaila number one, the cancer patient wants to know about putting a tattoo dot in order to aim the radiation. And shaila number two, at what point does daddy's seat become available for the children after daddy moves out of the house? So we'll do in-person voting and Zoom voting. So the Zoom voting will be on the chat thing. So let's do the in-person voting first. All those, by show of hands.
Wait,
Packer
vote first?
Packer's just like...
He doesn't watch everyone.
You want to outvote him or you want to help him out?
He doesn't watch everyone and choose which one.
Come on, I'm going to go with that.
Oh, you changed your mind? You were really disappointed,
like,
me. Sorry about that. Okay, so all those who would like Shaila number one, please raise your hand. Okay, all those who would like Shaila number two?
I really want two.
And so I think the Zoom is going to be the tiebreaker, so let's see. Let's see on the chat here. 2212. Okay, it looks like Shaila number two wins. Okay. So, you just voted for both of them. Just so you could say you won. All right, so... So Shaila number two. Shaila number two is the one with the father's seat, right? Okay, so let's discuss. What is the prohibition? What is the issur of sitting in a father's seat? What mitzvah is that in the Torah that one is not allowed to sit in the father's seat? So the Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin, what?
Mora.
Mora Avim. The Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis, tells us, Tana Rabbanan, Ezehu Mora ve'ezehu Kibud. There are two mitzvahs in the Torah. One is called Mora, one is called Kibud. The Gemara famously tells us why Aim is before Av when it comes to Mora, and Av before Aim when it comes to Kibud. What is Mora and what is Kibud? Mora is lo omid bimakomo velo yoshev bimakomo velo soser stavar velo machrio. You don't stand where he stands, you don't sit where he sits, you don't contradict that which he says, nor do you stick your head in a machlokas that he's having with someone else. You don't say when he's arguing with somebody else, no, my dad is really right about this. Yeah, as if your vote is going to matter in a discussion that he's having with another party. Kibud is machil, umashke, malbish, umachase, machnes, umotzi. You do things that for his physical needs, you give him to eat, give him to drink, you dress him, you bring him places where he needs to go, schlep him to his doctor's appointments, things like that. Shulchan Aruch paskins in Yardeus and Reish Mem, Ezu Mora, Lo Yavon Vimakoma Miuchado, Lama Shom Vesod Skin Im Chavero, Vimakom Miuchado Lispalo, don't sit in his Makom in Shul, Lo Yeshom Yakom Miuchado Lasid Beso, not in his Makom that he sits out at the house, Lo Soser Stavarov, Lo Machria Stavarov Befadov, Afilu Lomar Nir in Divrei Abba. Even if you're going to get involved in a disagreement that he's having with someone else and you're voting like him, you're on his side, still you don't do it. And Lo Yikrenu B'Shmo, you don't call him by his name. Lo b'chayv b'lo b'moso, you don't call him by his name when he's alive, nor when he's dead. And Ela Omer Abba Mari, instead you say Abba Mari. Now, why is it that there's an issur to sit in the person in the father's seat? So the Levush explains, because it gives the impression that you view yourself as equal in importance with the father or the mother, for that matter. You're not allowed to sit in the mother's seat either. So if you're giving the impression that you're on the same madriga, similar to getting involved in the machlokas, getting involved in their debates. Now, what if, let's take a different case, because this case, in order to arrive at a psak halacha, you just have to analyze this again, you know, and eventually it will address this case. You just have to know the background of the sugya, and it talks about this case head on. Over here, there isn't, meaning it doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't appear in the Gemara, it doesn't appear in the Rishonim, as far as I know, and I couldn't find contemporary poskim that discuss this exact case. So another approach to Psak Halacha, although, you know, some people don't love this approach, but another approach to Psak Halacha is that sometimes we try to find similar enough cases, and then with those similar cases we see how it shakes out, and then, you know, it's like if you throw a bunch of darts and you have a bunch that are like around, or axes, whatever people throw now, and you have and you hit like all around the target, so on average you got it right in the middle, right? Meaning, so like you have a basic idea of like where the halacha is. So in this kind of case, we have to look at similar cases just to get a sense. So what would be a similar case to the father moving out of the house? What would be a similar case? The father dying would be the first natural place that I would go, that I would think about. And on the flip side, I mean, the father dying is a little bit. Why is that not an exact parallel?
He's never coming back.
Well, in this case, he's never coming back either. They're never going to see him. Meaning, the nature of your relationship, of one's relationship with their father after he's dead, is very different than the nature of the relationship with the father while he's alive, right? Meaning, certainly the dinim of kibud, as we know them, don't apply to a dead father. There are other dinim of kibud that apply to a dead father, but the dinim of kibud, as we know them, like ma'achilo, you don't give him to eat when he's dead, right? You don't feed him, you don't dress him, you don't take him to the doctor, you don't do any of those things when he's dead. There used to be a movie when I was in high school called Weekend at Bernie's. I don't remember the premise of the movie, I just remember that they carried their dead Uncle Bernie around pretending he was alive for a whole weekend. That was the whole movie they would I don't remember what the premise was, but so you don't do that. That's right. That's in Israel, halanas ames. It's bizoy ames. It's all those things. You don't do that. So the nature of the mitzvah of kibbutz is obviously different. So maybe the nature of the mitzvah of mora is different. That the idea that you're not going to sit in the seat maybe doesn't apply anymore either. Are you allowed to wear your father's clothing? Is that included? Meaning the Gemara never says anything like that, right? Meaning I have four sons and we're all roughly the same size, right? So I started only buying shirts that have my initials on them just because I need to have my own clothing. You know, so it always ends up somewhere else. So unless they have the guts to wear shirts that have my initials on it, you know. One of my kids said, "Why are you ordering with your initials? It costs so much more. Like why would you?" I'm like, because I don't have clothing otherwise. It's like the only, but anyway, the are you allowed to wear a father's clothing? There's no halacha that you're not allowed to, right? But l'chora, it's like the same basic idea. What about, right? I don't know. I haven't seen any poskim that discuss that. So okay, so one case is if after the father dies. Give me another case that's also similar.
Case.
What?
Case.
What do you mean?
Oh,
you don't know if he's alive or dead. He's just not here. Okay. Yeah?
Compared to define what's considered a seed. Like if he has multiple seeds or what's considered his seed.
Okay, but this is the seed he's always sat in, right? Meaning usually it's the head of the table, you know exactly. Oh, but what if the father changes his seat? Right? Meaning at what point, if the father decides to sit elsewhere, does that seat not become his seat? Meaning, do we have any parallel where a seat changes? So that's something to look into, right? Sometimes I know Rabbi Kamenetsky told us that when he used to sit at the head of the table in his house, but they always have so much company and so many talmidim and all these people at their house, and they have a long table, and it's hard to connect to the people all the way at the other end of the table when you're sitting at the head of the table. So he changed his seat permanently, I think, that he always sits in the middle of the table now. So now, are his kids allowed to sit at what point are his kids allowed to sit at the head of the table? So at what point is a seat change, does a seat change take effect? I think another issue to look at is, what if father's not home? Is there an isser to sit in your father's seat if he's not there? Is it only a lack of mora ave'im if the father's around? So I think those are the cases to look, and also, what if they ask the father and he's mochel? Is there such a mechila on kibud aveim? And then maybe to look at what the eitzah might be. So let's start with, what if daddy's not home? Let's take a case, parents still married, father's coming home, he's on a business trip, he's away for a week, right? It happens all the time. And the mother says to the daughter, you can sleep in daddy's bed this week, you know, or something like that. Is there an issue you're not allowed to sleep in the father's bed? It says, lo yeshev b'mekomo, it doesn't say lo yishan b'mekomo. Why not? L'chor, it should be the same thing. I don't know. But you know, she says, you could sit in daddy's seat this week. So is she, in fact, allowed to sit there? He's not home anyway. He's away for the week. He's coming back next week. So don't worry about it. You could sit in the seat. Is that a thing? Is that an issue? So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh in Rishon Letzion in Yerdea, Simin Reish Mem Sif Gimel, says that you're not allowed to sit in the parent's seat, even when the parent, only when the parent is present or other people are around. But if nobody else is around, then a child is allowed to sit in the parent's seat, which is quite a chiddush. That's the shita of the Chuvus Yaskil Avdi as well. That in Yerdea Chilek Zayin, Simul Chafal Foschas, that you're allowed to sit in the parent's seat if nobody else is around. Meaning it's not a din klape atzmo, it's a din klape the disrespect that you're demonstrating to other people. You know, one might have said that this is about me, it's about me feeling like I'm taking my father's place. But you know, like when my son's Shabbos Sheva Brachos, so strangely, soon after my son's wedding, people started getting COVID, and it's like so weird. So like before the Shabbos Sheva Brachos, my daughter tested positive for COVID, and the rest of us didn't. We were because we didn't test. So the rest of us didn't test positive for COVID. My daughter tested positive for COVID. So my daughter had to stay home alone for a bit. She ended up sleeping by a friend's house who the whole family just had COVID that week or whatever, but they were out for dinner, whatever the story was. She was home alone for one meal on Shabbos until her friend's family picked her up and she went there for the rest of Shabbos because we couldn't bring a kid with COVID to Teaneck. You know, they throw you out of Teaneck if you do that. So she sat alone. So I have no idea what seat she sat in. I was picturing in my mind that my daughter alone at this big table sitting in my seat, you know, like fearing Tish for nobody, you know, but I assume that's the way, like in my mind's eye, that's the way I saw it happening. Is there an issue to do that? So it says the Shuvas Yaskalavdi, there's no issue to do that. However, the Taz and the Orcha Shulchan and many others say, no, it's a dim klapayatzmo. You can't sit in your father's seat. You're not allowed to. Ben Ishchai in Parsha Shoftim says that since it's a Shaila on a Doraisa, right, meaning Morav Eim is a mitzvah is a din daraisa. So since it's a shaylan daraisa, savik daraisa l'chumra, and you're not allowed to. Meaning even though it's machlok, it's a poskim, savik daraisa l'chumra, you're not allowed to. Okay, so when the parent is not there, you're not allowed to. What about when the parent dies? So is the child then allowed to sit in the parent's seat when the parent dies? So there is a din of mechabdo b'mosa, that you're supposed to honor a parent even after they die. But mechabdo b'mosa takes on a totally different meaning. Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Reish Mem Sif Tes, chayiv l'chabdo afilu achar moso keitzad. How do you do kibud l'achar moso? Like we said, you're not feeding him, you're not giving him to drink, you're not bringing him to doctor's appointments. Hayu omer dvar shmua mipiv omer, kach omer abba mari, hareini kaparas mishkavo. When you say something in the father's name, you say kach omer abba mari, and then you add the phrase, hareini kaparas mishkavo, as a reverential term about the father. That's what you do. Imu tok shnei masur chodesh, if that's within Yud Beis Chodesh. Vimu lachar shnei masur chodesh omer, zichrono levracha. And after Yud Beis Chodesh, you no longer say hareini kaparas mishkavo, you now say zichrono levracha. But either way, you add in something, a bracha, reverential, something nice about the parent when you quote the parent. And the Rama adds, vein chiluk bein eim la'av b'kol zah. Obviously, same as true for a mother, there's no difference between a father and a mother. But that's it. That's the mitzvah la'achar moso. You know, this idea that there still is a din of kibud la'achar moso is one of the nafkaminas as to whether kibud aveim is a mitzvah bin al mechaver bin al makom. Right? You know, this raid, you know, this Torah, that the first five of the Aseres Dibros are all mitzvahs, bin adam lamakom. Second five are all bin adam lechavero, but there's one that's on the wrong side, right? If that's true, what's kibud aveim doing? Kibud aveim is which commandment? Number five, the fifth commandment. In fact, someone wrote a book about kibud aveim and they called it the fifth commandment, so it makes it easy to remember. So it's the fifth one. So how, what's it doing on the wrong side? It's clearly been on the chaver. You're dealing with other people. So how's it on the wrong? So the minchas chinuch, mitzvah lamed gimel, raises a suffix. No, maybe it's a mitzvah ben on the makom, because the Gemara says that shlosh shutfin yesh ba'adam aviv v'imo and Hakadosh Baruch Hu. And when you're mechabit aviv v'imo, it's ki'ilu kibduni. It's as if you're mechabit Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Ooh, so maybe that makes it like a ben adam lamakom, because you're honoring Hashem through honoring your parents. So l'may nafkamina whether something is a mitzvah ben on the chaver ben on the makom. Either way, to honor your parents, right? So the main afkamina, whether in general, right? If someone were to ask that about any mitzvah, if a mitzvah bin al-Machaver bin al-Makom, the first question you have to ask, a chakira is only as good as the nafkamina. So the main nafkamina. So I remember I once heard a shir from Rav Yonason Sacks where he said, seven nafkaminas, whether it's a mitzvah bin al-Machaver bin al-Makom, right? So, yeah. Oh, so one is, can the other party be mochel? Can a parent be mochel, the kavod? If it's a mitzvah ben al mamakom, it's not theirs to be mochel, it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's. But if it's ben al mechaveru, then it's up to them to be mochel. They have a right to be mochel ben al mechaveru. What's the din? Can a parent be mochel? A parent can be mochel, right? A parent can be, but maybe that's not telling. Because it could be that the reason a parent can be mochel is because ritzono shaladam zehu kvodo. The definition of kavod is what they want. When they're mochel, they're telling you they don't want this. Rav Shacht used to give the example. He said, you know, part of the mitzvah of kibud aveim, the Gemara says, to help the parent get dressed, or to put his shoes on. So, or to put it right, put his socks and shoes on. So Rav Shacht said, if my children start putting my socks and shoes on, and I'm fully capable of doing it myself, I would find that very annoying, right? Meaning I don't want them putting on my socks and shoes when I'm fully capable of doing it myself. They make me feel like I'm incapable. I don't want them doing that. So why isn't it kibud ave? Why can they be mochel? Because I don't want it. That's not kibud to me. That's insulting to me if you're going to do that. So it could be that that's not, you know, that the fact that they could be mochel is not a raya that it's a mitzvah ben on the chaver. It could be that it's a mitzvah ben on the lakum, but it's not kibud in this case. What's another nafkamina whether something's ben on the chaver, ben on the lakum? It's a fun game to play.
And it's similar to mechila, but like mechila in terms of like after the fact.
Meaning if you did not do a good job,
yeah.
So how do you do tshuva? Right? Do you need their mechila in order to do tshuva? The Rambam looks tshuva writes, and we know Gemara says in Yuma that in order to do tshuva mitzvah al mamakom, you do charata, yazivas achet, and charata, kabbalah lasid, and vidui, but benam lechavero, all of that doesn't help until you ask for mechila. So do you need the mechila of the parent? That's a good nafkamina. Another nafkamina? That's only two so far. What? How much money you spend, right? For a mitzvah on the makom, you're supposed to spend up until 20% of your money. For mitzvah on the chavero, with one notable exception, you're not really supposed to. You don't really have to spend money. Kabiras Hashem mehoncha. You're supposed to honor Hashem from your wealth, which is the notable exception that you do spend money on. Tzedakah, right? Meaning that's the nature of the mitzvah, right? So that's got to be the notable exception. What other enough can be? And by the way, for kibud aveim, do you have to spend your own money? Right, it's Mishalav, you spend their money. Well, what else? Any other nafkaminas? Oh, a mitzvah ben on the makom. There are no mitzvahs ben on the chavero lachar misas chavero. Right? Mitzvahs ben on the chavero don't apply lachar misas chavero. Because mitzvahs ben on the chavero, as Rav Shachter always points out in the name of Salvechik, are all based on the principle of reciprocity. There's not going to be reciprocity after misas chavero. Right, so that's why it's Chesed Shalemes. Right, there are no mitzvos beyond the chavero after mitzvos chavero. Mitzvos welcome continue to apply. Right, so there are a lot of really geshmak and nafkaminas. Another nafkamina might be: do you have a heter called zaken veinul fi kvoda, that it's beneath your dignity? They're asking you to do something that's beneath your dignity. So beyond the chavero, you have such a heter. Where do we have such a heter? Shavis Aveda, right? Zaken Veinul Fi Kvodo. If it's beneath the day, you're walking on the street and see a pair of underwear, but you're a Chashav Rosh Yeshiva, so you can walk around the whole day with a pair of underwear announcing, who lost their underwear, right? That's going to be very embarrassing. It's humiliating. But when it comes to honoring the Ribbono Shel Olam, even if it happens to be something that's humiliating, B'makom Chil Hashem Ein Cholkin Kavod L'Rav. There is no kavod when it comes to Klapei the Ribbono Shel Olam. Another nafkamina, Rav Yosef Engel writes that Onus Rachman Apatre only applies to mitzvos bin Adam L'makom, but not to mitzvos bin L'chavera. So I remember before I got the job at Landers when I became a Rebbe there. I was a Rebbe there for 3 years. So before I got the job, I had a meeting with Rav Sachs at his house, so it was a little scary. so I was talking to him and learning, and I said, "Am I crazy, or is Rav Yosef Engel gives that as a nafkamina?" He says, "Anas Rachman Apatri only applies ben al chavero, not only to ben al makom, not to ben al chavero." Am I crazy, or does he not really mean ben al chavero, ben al makom the way we mean it? Meaning, what he means, if you look at Rav Yosef Engel when he says that shtickle Torah, what he means by ben adam lechavero, he means something that is impactful in this world. That's a result-oriented mitzvah. Ben adam lemakom means a mitzvah that's just between you and Hashem, in the sense that there's nothing, there's no impact in this world. For example, if I were to ask you, the mitzvah of persume nisa, ner chanukah, being farsim nes by ner chanukah, ben adam lemakom or ben adam lechavero? So it's Ben Adam L'makom, right? It's a mitzvah. You're not doing anyone any favors, right? It's your mitzvah to be Mefarsim the Neis, and Hashem is really proud of you when you do that. Yosef Engel calls that Ben Adam L'chavero in this sense, because it makes an impact in this world. And that's why you don't say Onos Rachman Patre. You don't say, if you couldn't do it, so you're Pater. No, because there was an impact that was meant to be made, and you didn't make that impact, so it didn't happen. Okay, this is just a fun game to play. All the nafkaminas between. Did we hit all seven? I think we did. I don't know. Is there a bracha? You say bracha is only on mitzvos? then on the makom. You don't say, you know, you never, you go to be Menachem Bavelim before you walk in the door. You don't say, wait a second, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Baruch Hashem Hashem Tosin Tzvanu Al Mitzvos Nichum Bavelim, or something like that, right? Or before you get up, say that makom Menachem. You don't do that. You mevakar chole. You don't do that. So all these things. So what about his seat after he dies? So is his seat still his seat after he dies? So Rav Binyamin Zilber has a tshuva in Chelches of Aznidbru, and he says, Zeh Pashut, Dima'av Shina Makoma B'chayev, D'mutzal Yeshav B'makoma. If a father changes his seat during his lifetime, meaning Rav Kamenetsky's kids are allowed to sit at the end of the table because he now changed his seat to the middle of the table. So says Rav Binyamin Zilber, that's Pashut, right? Li'achar Misa Havi Kishina Makoma L'chalut. He says he's now sitting in a different seat, right? After the father dies, he's in a different seat. He's in the seat in the Yeshiva Shalmaila. So that's a more permanent change of the seat. He's not going to change his mind. So therefore, it's done. What impressions does that give you about our case? Father's leaving. He's not coming back. He changed the seat. So the Rav that I spoke to, that asked me the shayla, or that raised the shayla with me, because he thought I'd be interested, and I was, said that he thought she should wait till the get. That she shouldn't let the kid sit there till she receives a get. What's his svara? Because mehechitesi that it's over. Sometimes crazy things happen. How many times they have stories like, my brother's involved in getting, right? So sometimes a couple is sure that they're getting divorced, next thing you know, she's pregnant. How did that happen? Right, so you know, the crazy things happen sometimes. Yeah, don't answer, right? So crazy things happen sometimes. So do you know for sure that they will have a change of heart? Maybe they'll make up. Maybe they'll, they'll still reconsider things. Someone told me. Who was told me? Someone told me they were being sadder again once. And as they were about to do the get, the woman started complaining about the way one of their friends was treating her, and the man said, "Yeah, that friend. I always hated that friend of yours." And she's like, "Yeah, she's such a jerk." And the man is like, "Yeah, and you remember when he did that?" And then they started telling stories about the friend, and they're like a pure Lashon Hara fest about this this friend. And then they're like, "We're really getting along now, right? Maybe we should give this another shot." And they decided not to give a get over the Lashon Hara fest about the friend. What? So you know, bottom line is you never know. But I didn't think that was the I didn't think that's what it was. But you know, where did I see? I think Rabbi Yamin Zilber, in his assessment of the mitzvah of Mora Ava'im, suggests that, you know, when it comes to kibud, it's really for the parent. When it comes to Mora, it's really more for yourself. And when it comes to Mora, it's like that you shouldn't feel that you're stepping in the parent's place. And if that's the case, I thought that Pashtus is that as long as the kids view that as dad's seat, they shouldn't sit there. Meaning it's not totally on the get, no get, is he coming back, is he not coming back, if they still see that as dad's seat, you shouldn't sit there. So I thought the best etzah would be to tell the woman, whenever you have company over, when your parents come for a Shabbos or whatever, sit somebody else in that seat. An event, some of the company in that seat. Someone else is for sure allowed to sit there. It's only the children are not allowed to. And over time, or maybe you're going to lead the meals, right? Now that the husband's not around, so you're going to be saying that motzi, or you're going to be saying kiddush if the children are under bar mitzvah, right? So you sit in that seat, and then over time, they're not going to see that as dad's seat anymore. The problem is if she sits in the seat, then it becomes mom's seat, right? So, but have other people sit in that seat over the course of time until they no longer see it that way. So I asked Rav Shachter what he thought, and Rav Shachter said, there's no like zman, you just have to wait till they don't see it as their seat. So I said, what about the seitza? And I said, he said, that's a good idea. Have other people sit there, and then they won't see it as the father's seat. So I think that's the pashas, that's a good idea. I don't think they should ask for the father's mechila, because it'll probably be hurtful to him. To have the, you know, to hear the mechila. Meaning, you also have to keep in mind, sometimes you're worried about the kibud of one parent, you have to keep in mind when it's not going to be the kibud of the other parent. Like, let's say I have an almana, the husband died, and the almana says, no one's going to sit in my husband's seat. Now the halacha is you're allowed to, like Rabbi Yamin Zilber said, he was Mashana Makoma Lechalutin, he's never coming back. So till Tchias HaMesim, he's not coming back to that house, he's going to come back when we have Tchias HaMesim in Eretz Yisrael. But if it hurts her, if it hurts the Almanos, then it's not proper keep it to the mother. So you have to keep in mind the bigger picture all the time when it comes to these things. Okay, everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you for joining me tonight.
Thank you.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.